For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It's April 30th, and Derech Hashem, we're starting Chelek Dalet, and the first parak is very short, and we're primarily going to focus on the second parak tonight. So the first parak, the Ramchal just lists the Chelkei HaAvoida, really pointing out this is no Chiddush, just that there's different types of mitzvahs. There is mitzvahs, he calls them, we have Tamidi, constant, Yomi, daily, Zmani. They are at specific times, but the times are few and far between. And then Mikri, meaning they sometimes have and they sometimes don't. And it just depends on what's going on. the Avodas Hashem focuses on always on those four things. There's four different types of ways of serving Him, and those are the four brackets that you're going to put your avodah into. And there's also the element of Talmud, of learning what to do. So tonight, his second parak is about Talmud Torah. So we're going to talk about Talmud Torah, even though that would seem to be something to talk about with men, but you'll see why it's extremely relevant for you as well. And as he moves on, Chelek Dalet, he'll move into these types of avodah of Tmidi, Yoimi, Zmani, and Mikri. Now, Talmud Torah, we know that the whole purpose of existence is to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodas Hashem. And through Avodas Hashem, we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We reach Shleimus, we reach Toiv, all that is the same, which is to be Dovuk in the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now, the mitzvahs are the ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to become Dovuk to Him. We know, we learned before in the first Chelek, that although mitzvahs inherently bring us to be Dovuk to Him, but in Olam Hazeh, that Dveikus is not obvious. And even though there may be some incremental Dveikus here, and there actually may be some Dveikus that we perceive as being really powerful if we see great tzaddikim, but the fact of the matter is it's not really that powerful compared to what it is in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, the Dveikus is much more profound. And that has to do with the fact that we're in Olam Hazeh, and we have Gashmi. The Gashmi really is in control. The Ruchni is very hidden, and that's the way it works. Talmud Torah is the most potent force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the world. Torah is the most potent force He put into the world to become Dovuk to Him. It is the most potent force that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashpia from Shamayim to here. It's actually a physical item HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us that we can use, we must use, to become Dovuk to Him. And this is done through, obviously, keeping the Torah, but Talmud Torah in particular. There are many madregas in Talmud Torah, and those madregas, depending on the level of the Talmud Torah, the greater will be the hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, as you know, is on men. There is no mitzvah of Talmud Torah on women. Women have to know what to do. So, just as a means of knowing how to behave, so women have to know Torah to that extent. But that's nothing but facts. There's no pilpul. There's no lumdus. There's no delving into it. There's no amkus. It just, you gotta know, how you mafresh challah, how much flour, How do you do it? What bracha do you make? There's all kinds of myriad of details. How do you keep Shabbos? There's all kinds of details. But those are all facts. That's a Shulchan Aruch. But the depth of Torah, the give and take, the lumdis, there is no chiyav on women to do that. A woman can, if she would like to, she can learn, if she chooses to, but that would be eina mitzuvah v'aysa. It would not be mitzuvah v'aysa, and you all know that the greater schar is for a mitzvah that you're mitzuvah to do. A mitzvah you're not mitzvah to do, you can get schar for doing it, but it is a lesser and limited schar. And therefore, a woman who chooses to learn Torah is not doing anything wrong, and she is getting schar for it, but the schar she gets is less than the schar that a man would get for the same Talmud Torah. Not only that, the schar she gets is less than the schar she would get for doing a mitzvah that she is mitzvah to do. So it limits the situations where it would be a good idea to encourage women to learn Torah. Because why should a woman do that which is going to give her less schar than something else? You have a choice of doing two things. One gives you immense schar. One gives you limited schar. Why would you do the limited one? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. So the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is on men. We talked about this before, that then how does a woman achieve her chelik of Torah? If, in fact, Talmud Torah, the mitzvah is for men, how does a woman then achieve her chelik in Torah? And the answer is that she enables Talmud Torah. By enabling Talmud Torah, then the chelik that the men who she's enabling get, she gets an equal chelik. So that means a woman gets a greater schar for enabling a man to learn Torah than she gets if she learns Torah herself. Because if she learns Torah herself, it's Eina Mitzvah V'Aisa. If she enables Talmud Torah, that's what she was put here to do, to be the Ezer Kenegdai, to enable Talmud Torah. It's Lav Dafka to her husband, just that a husband is going to be the most direct and obvious recipient of that ma'afsher that the woman does. But it's going to be her sons, and it could be a young woman who is not yet married. It can be her brothers, her father. It can be other men in the community. But anybody who, a woman who is ma'afsher to learn Torah, that Torah equally accrues to her. Today in the conception we have of kolel life, lav dafka, long-term kolel life, even a short-term kolel life, even a couple gets married, they learn, and he learns for a year or two after they get married. But the conception we have is one where the husband is learning and the wife is taking care of the house, working, if there are children, taking care of the children, and she's enabling him to learn. I think we hold up in our minds the picture of, let's say, somebody like Rabbi Yashiv, where he's learning all the time and his wife is taking care of everything so that he can learn. But it doesn't, that's sort of a pristine picture, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that the wife is working in order to enable Talmud Torah. A wife, even when the husband is working, and a wife, let's take the old style, the style of my grandparents, perhaps it's your great-grandparents already, where the husband is working, he's the breadwinner, and the wife is home, and she's rarely, if ever, out of the house. She's in the house the whole time. She's not out and about, she's not running any kind of organizations in the city. She's just in the house, running the house. That's all she does. So there, she's also the enabler of Talmud Torah. Because what is the husband going to do? He's going to learn Torah. He's going to go. He's going to get up. He's going to go to davening. He's going to go to work. He's going to come home. And then what's he going to do? He's going to go learn. And the difference between a family in which the husband is a Ben Torah and where a family where the husband is not a Ben Torah is the evenings. That's the difference. That is the complete, that is the beginning and end of the difference. You could also add to that Shabbos afternoon. You can add to that Sundays. But during a regular work day, it's going to be the evenings. Because it doesn't matter whether a man is in Kol or whether a man is in Klei Kodesh or whether a man is in the workforce. It makes no difference. Either way, the difference between a Ben Torah family and a non-Ben Torah family is going to be the evenings. Even in the case of your father, where his Iker learning is in the morning, but that's because he works in the evenings. So it doesn't make a difference. It's one way or other, the evening is what's going to be given up. And the way that a husband gets out the door in the evening is only going to be when his wife is enabling him to get out the door. Because she is handling whatever's going on inside the home. She's handling the kids, their needs, their food needs, clothing needs, shopping needs, cleanliness needs, homework needs, emotional health needs, whatever is going on inside that family. It is the wife who is taking responsibility for it in order that her husband does not need to take responsibility for it so that he is able to be out in the evenings. That's the difference between a Ben Torah family and a non-Ben Torah family. So a wife is always enabling, and certainly with her sons, to get them to learn Torah, however she's going to do that, whether it's going to be through encouraging them to learn, whether it's going to be through threatening them to learn, whether it's going to be through rewarding them for learning, whatever works, whatever she knows her sons and whatever's going to work, however it's going to happen. So that is the way that women are zeiche in Talmud Torah. In order to do that, you have to feel a very strong sense of what this Talmud Torah is. What are you encouraging? What are you being ba'afshir? If you don't appreciate what's happening, then there are several possible pitfalls. One pitfall is, you can say to yourself, why is it a big deal? Another pitfall is, you can burn out very easily. Another pitfall is, you will not be equipped to really encourage the Talmud Torah because you won't know what you're encouraging. So, what is it that you need to know in order to be able to do your job properly? Obviously, you're not going to know all the Torah because you got to learn all the Torah to know all the Torah. But you have to know what is so great about it. What's happening? Going to the Beis Medrash and hiding in a corner and listening to what's going on, that's not going to tell you what's going on. You're just going to see that's like going to a factory and watching the factory. You have no idea what's going on over there. You don't know how an airplane is made. You're just going to go watch the factory. So you'll see some things. We won't really appreciate it. So what is happening? This is what is being addressed in this parak, in the second parak of Chilek Dalad in Derech Hashem. Now, the Ramchal writes that there are two ways in which Talmud Torah brings a hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is the words, and two is the seichel, is the thinking. There's the words of Torah, the divrei Torah, and then there's the seichel, there's the thinking in Torah. Both bring hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person can read the words of Torah, and that automatically brings a hashpah, and then a person can think about it or talk it over. But I'm not talking about the read, not the actual words of Torah, but the concepts, the depth of it, to think through what's happening, the give and take, the lumness. All that brings a hashpah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The greater the depth of the learning, the more the understanding is, the greater is the hashpa. So that means that when, for example, my Rebbe, when Rav Tzvi Berkowitz, when he's learning the same Torah I'm learning, the hashpa that comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam is greater. The same learning that we're doing, it's greater from him than it is from me. Because his depth of understanding of what's happening is much, much more profound than mine. And therefore, it's going to be a greater hashpa. However, the Ramchal writes that it is a chesed elyon that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it this way. Because this way, virtually everybody, every man, can bring a level of hashpa. Everybody can. Because no matter whether you're learning on the level of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, or whether you're learning on the level of the person who comes to shul and can barely read Aleph Beis, either way, you are tapping into a hashpa. One way, because even the lowest level of learning is still creating hashpa. Even reading the words without understanding them, just reading Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Haaretz, and you don't know what the word Bereishis means, it doesn't matter. If you knew what the word Bereishis meant, it would be a better hashpa. But even reading Bereishis Bara Elokim Eis Hashamayim Ve'Eis Haaretz brings a hashpa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that hashpa, the primary place that it affects is the person who's learning. Or as I mentioned before, the one who is enabling that person to learn. And the hashpa will give that person a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that person is now reaching a greater level of shlemus, a greater level of toiv, a greater level of dveikus. Is he going to feel it? He may feel a little bit of something because Talmud Torah is an interesting, and you're dealing with all kinds of you're dealing with Divrei Torah, but it's lav dafka that he's going to actually feel closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll feel like he's doing a good thing. You know how you feel after you've worked hard at doing something which you know was right to do, and you come out feeling good about yourself. I did it. I did it. A man will feel the same way after learning Shtark in Seder. But will he actually feel a closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Not directly. And even more removed from that is going to be the one who is ma'afshir him to learn, who's also going to achieve the same dveikus he's going to achieve. Will she feel it? She's not going to feel it. But there is nevertheless a dveikus and a shlemus and a toiv that's happening, whether it is perceived or not. But more than the hashpa on the person himself, there's also a hashpa on the whole world. There's a tikkun for the entire world that happens through the Limud HaTorah. And again, it's the same thing. The more profound and in-depth the Limud HaTorah is, the greater is the hashpa on the whole world. My Rabbi Ritzvi mentioned that when we were talking about the learning in Eretz Yisrael and the Kollel in Eretz Yisrael and supporting learning in Eretz Yisrael, he said, we have no idea how much that learning is being megen for us. There is a protection that is happening in the world, that the source of that Magain is the Limud HaTorah that's going on everywhere. But in Eretz Yisrael, there's more Limud HaTorah than anywhere else. And the depth of the Limud is on a very high level. And therefore, the Hashpa is powerful, and therefore the amount of protection that we get, that everybody gets, is very powerful. And this is why, says the Ramchal, it's important to learn all of Torah. Because the tikkun that the Torah provides is different depending on what is being learned. Every nuance of Torah provides a different type of tikkun to the Welt. So it is important that Torah is learned broadly, not just deeply. that the entire Torah is covered, preferably the entire Torah in depth, but that the entirety of the Torah is learned, adds a tikkun to the world that wouldn't be there otherwise. And therefore, each individual man is charged with learning kol ha-Torah kula, and certainly as a klal, we have to learn kol ha-Torah kula. Now, if you are looking for, if you're trying to enable someone to learn, there's different types of learning. You know, when I drive around town, so I don't do that much driving, but a little bit I do. So I have a CD. You know, I have CDs that I listen to, Torah. But since I'm in and out of the car, and it's, you know, I listen for a few minutes, stop listening, listen for a few minutes, stop listening, and it could be hours between the listenings, so I don't listen to anything in depth. I'm listening to light things in Torah, because I need something that I'll be able to immediately focus in on, and then be able to go in and out, right? Is it learning? Of course it's learning. Is it a good thing? Yes, it's a good thing. Is it the same learning that happens when I'm sitting in the Beis Medrash from the Chavrusa? Avadanat. Therefore, is the hashpa and the tikkun that is happening, is it the same? Of course not. It's not the same. So I ask you this. If I'm at home and the house is chaos and my wife says to me, I don't want you to be busy with this stuff. I want you to sit and learn. Just sit down and learn. Don't worry about what's going on. But the house is in chaos and the kids are swinging from the chandeliers. So I take out my Gemara and I'm trying to concentrate on Gemara. It's just too difficult. Because the cacophony is just impossible. So I pull out a chumash, and I do my shtayim mikavach targum. Is that a mitzvah? Yes. Is it Talmud Torah? Yes. Is there a hashpa and a tikkun that's happening? Of course. Is it on the same level as if I'll be able to take out my Gemara, with be able to concentrate, with full attention, and in depth of learning? Of course not. So the level, the menuchas hanefesh that a man has in his learning, the hope is that that's going to produce a better type of learning, which will therefore produce a greater hashpa and a greater tikkun. And therefore, a wife could say, he can learn. I want him to learn, but I want him to stay home with me. I don't want him leaving the house. I'll make sure the house is quiet, put the kids to bed, let them learn at home. Don't go to the Beis Medrash. So that's fine. But you have to ask yourself, is the level of learning the same? And if it isn't, you have to be aware of the fact that that means the Talmud Torah is diminished. And the Hashpa and the Tikkun, both on the husband and the wife and their family, and on the world in general, is going to be commensurately diminished. So you have to be aware of that. The story, I keep telling my wife that I'm waiting for this to happen for me, the story that they in the Rebbetzin Kanievsky book about how the Rebbetzin Eliashiv would save up money, didn't have much money at all, but she would save up money and then rent a room for her husband to learn in for the week or two before Pesach. So he shouldn't be disturbed by the Pesach cleaning. He should just learn. I keep telling my wife, you know, like, she says to me, when you're the level of Rebbe Eliashiv, we'll talk. So she's right. So I'm saying, right, but what was her intention over there? Intention, I mean, she could have had, he learned in the house all the time. He had a very good learning in his house. And he was on a level where he learned by himself. He didn't really have a chavrusa that he could learn with that would have learned as in-depth as he does. Rav Chaim Kanievsky does have a chavrusa. But Rav Eliashiv, didn't have, most of his learning was by himself. He did it in his house often. I mean, he had a shul that he went to, but he also was able to learn in his house. But she knew that before Pesach, it was going to get crazy, and then he wouldn't be able to learn, or at least wouldn't be able to learn as well. And so they saved the money, and she sent him off to learn. That's this idea of making sure that the learning is just as in depth and just as with just as much attention, so that it can be the most powerful and potent learning that there can be.
So, like, what's the balance of having, you know, like, Erev Pesach, having Chazan around?
Yes, yes, right, clean, you right, know? Like, right. I would not recommend that people do what Rabbi Tzalian Yashiv did, because a husband has to be on that level also. And it's a two-way street. If the husband who is sitting in the Beis Medrash all day is not going to use all the time in learning, because he has all best intentions of doing so, but it's hard to learn for many, many, many hours straight. It's not easy to be concentrating all those hours straight. And if his mind is going to wander, or if he's going to take a break here or there, well, then he's not Rabbi Yashiv. And no one is born Rabbi Yashiv, right? You've got to build up to that. It takes a lot of time, a lot of effort to get there. So it depends on the person. And a wife can tell where her husband is holding. It's not a secret. He may be able to fool some people, but he's not going to be able to fool his wife. and a husband who's intellectually honest will tell his wife that he's not there. He's not ready for that. Yeah, he's not ready for that. If my wife would offer that for me, I would be honest with her. I would be honest with her. It would be nice to have the time and have the... But the fact of the matter is, I'm not on that madrega. And, you know, it's avdafka the best thing. That, you know, it could be fakert. It could be that I need the break and have my mind occupied in something different for the couple of weeks of Pesach, so that afterwards the learning will be more... That's different cheshbonos, right? But a husband who's taking off time to go play basketball is not on the level to get a room rented for him to learn. Now, the Ramchal writes that this hashpa that comes from Limud HaTorah, even just reading the words, has two prerequisites. There are two things that are necessary in order for the Torah to have that hashpa, besides the depth of the learning. But there are two things that are required. And they are, first of all, I'll tell you what he writes. Hayira b'talmid atzmai, fear of the learning itself, and tikkun hamaisa b'choleis, and working on oneself to improve. Those two things are necessary. A person who learns Torah, but is neither focused on personal growth, nor are they do they have a high regard for the learning will not have that hashpa on them, or on the world. No matter how in depth they go, it will not have that hashpa. So if he's approaching learning like any other topic, mathematics, science, literature, Gemara, if that's the way he's approaching it. If when he's learning, he's sit back and relaxing and learning, right? If that's what he's doing, he's not appreciating the value and the importance of what he's doing. That in and of itself undermines the tikkun and hashpa of the learning. That's number one. He says that includes having treating the words of Torah properly, meaning speaking about the Torah with the proper respect, instead of, because you know, you can talk about things in a respectful manner or in a disrespectful manner. So throwing around ideas and concepts of Torah in a respectful manner, and he says, and treating Sifrei HaTorah properly. You're safer. Making sure it's, you're not putting things on top of the safer. You're not leaning out. There's different ways of learning Torah, right? So there's even treating the Sfarim of Torah properly is part of this Yira of Talmud. Recognizing that what you're learning is the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Recognizing that you can't allow yourself to make a mistake, because this is what matters. There is nothing more important than this. And a mistake is devastating. And that you got to get everything right. That's a respect for what you're learning. A respect for what you're learning. And second of all, there has to be a sense of wanting to grow in Ruchnius. Not just in the learning. I want to be a better person in Ruchnius. I want to have better midas. I want to do my mitzvahs better. I want dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want ahava. I want yira. A person has to be thinking along those lines. If not, then the hashpa the Torah provides does not work. Now, I want you to be aware of this. These two prerequisites are in order for the hashpa to take place. Now, if a woman is enabling a man to learn, it stands to reason if the hashpa through his learning is going to accrue to her just like it comes to him in this equal amounts, it stands to reason that she too has to have these prerequisites. A very powerful respect and yira for the Talmud, for the learning, and tikkun ha'maisa b'chaleis, the focus on growing, on improving. That doesn't have to only be the person who's actually learning the Torah. Anybody who is getting, wants to tap into that hashpa, this is the way to tap into that hashpa. So that it could be that she's sending her husband off to learn, whether it's kollel or whether it's at night, whatever it is, she's sending her husband off to learn. And she's going to make sure that things get taken care of so that he can learn. But just as he needs to have a respect and a yira for the learning, she does too. And just like he has to have a focus on tikkun ha'maisa, on improving, getting to be a better person, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so does she. Those two things are prerequisites. So, therefore, if a person is learning Torah as an intellectual pursuit, they unfortunately forfeit the hashpa that the Torah provides, which is a shame. It's a terrible shame. But the Ramchal says an unbelievable thing. Says the Ramchal, it's based on Chazal, that there is another element to Torah. It's a chesed elyon, which is this. Even when a person is learning Torah without intention of tikkun ha'maisa and without yira of the learning, just a regular another pursuit that he's doing, he will not get the ikar hashpa the Torah is offering. But the fact of the matter is, the Torah does have inherently has a kedusha to it. That kedusha will affect him on a very, very, very small level. And if a person learns Torah bitmidus consistently for a long period of time, even if he does it as only an intellectual pursuit, the Torah will ultimately make him a better person. That's why Chazal say, l'mashal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Halavai oisi ozvu v'soirasi shamaru. I would have preferred they left me, should have forsaken me, but still kept my Torah. Let them forsake me. Give me up. You won't serve me. But learn the Torah anyway. Shehama'or sheba machziron l'mutav. Because the light of the Torah will bring them back to good. The Torah has a power in it. That is what Chazal say. There was... When I was in high school, there were, of course, different rebbeim in high school. And when I got a little bit, maybe I was in 11th or 12th grade, I was once talking to one of my rebbeim, to Rav Kalman Weinreb, and he told me that we were talking about, he was telling me how that what happens when Bachrim don't behave properly. That's high school. Some Bachrim come in predisposed to behaving properly and some Bachrim don't. So the Bachrim aren't behaving properly. And, when Bachrim are intent on misbehaving, it's not just talking in class, right? Especially in a dorm situation. So things can happen and things can go wrong and things that are not necessarily good things can be happening. So what do you do about that? So one approach is Musar and threatening and, which... Of course you have to do those things. But he was telling me how Rav David Rosenbaum, who at that time was the 11th grade Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, now he's a 12th grade Rebbe, had his approach was, ignore it. Just get them to learn. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't get into it. I don't care what happened at night. I don't care what happened in town. I don't care what happened at the door. Just get them to learn. Get them to be seated in the Beis Medrash and learn Torah. Shama or Shaba Machzir on the Motiv. You get them to learn, they will ultimately become better people. That's what's going to happen. The Torah has that kayach, even when a person does not appreciate what they're doing and doesn't really care about growing. Now, he does make one small caveat, which is, it can't be that he's learning for a bad reason. Now, if he's learning lekanter, which means he's learning in order to find proofs to go attack the Talmidei Chachamim, or he's learning to mock the Torah, to try to find things to make fun of the Torah, or he's learning to be megal upon shel halacha, to make up halachas that aren't true, which unfortunately there are people out there who do these things, then there's no hashpah from the Torah that's helpful, none whatsoever. This is about somebody who doesn't appreciate what they're learning, but isn't trying to mock it or put down Talmidei Chacham. He just doesn't appreciate what he's doing, so he's just, it's an interesting pursuit, interesting. So then, even though he doesn't get the ikar hashpah of Torah, but there still is that latent kedusha that is going to ultimately affect the person. But avada, he ends off, that a person who does it with the right intention has that yira and has the tikkun amai, so they're going to have the greater hashpah and the greatest hashpah of the learning.
Yeah. If someone learns not, like, it's not for a bad reason, they just don't believe it's from Hashem, so they're learning it like they would learn it, like, just intellectually, but they're just taught that, like, it's like they don't believe in it, will it have that power on them?
It seems that it does. See, it's an interesting question. He doesn't talk about that particular example. You're saying a person who's learning but doesn't believe it's Tarmi Sinai. It's a wisdom, a very wise book that was written by some very wise people, maybe several authors over the generations. Moses was a wise person, and in the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva was a wise person, and they had some very interesting things that they put down. Right. From the way he's writing over here, I would guess that there still would be a good hashpah that would happen, as long as it's not negative. In other words, as long as the person is not trying to learn in order to prove, those silly Talmidei Chacham, they don't know what they're talking about. Right? That has no good effect at all. But if it's just that person doesn't appreciate what they're learning, but there is kedusha, and therefore there is something that's happening over there. That's what it seems to me from what he says, but he does not address it directly.
What about a guy?
A guy is not allowed to learn Torah. Uh-huh.
If a guy does learn Torah, because let's say a guy does learn Torah, he does open up a Chumash, or he does open up a Gemara, it doesn't
count. Torah Tzivolanu Moshe, by Rosh Akilas Yaakov.
So he's
not for a guy.
Not even Torah Shevach Sav?
So there's a machlokes whether Torah Shebich Sav. It's like this: you're not allowed to teach Torah to Goyim. It's usher. There's a machlokes whether you're allowed to teach Torah Shebich Sav to Goyim. Some hold you can. I believe Rav Moshe held you could, and others hold you can't. But certainly, Torah Shebich Sav certainly is usher to teach the Goyim. Their job is not to learn Torah. Now, they are supposed to see us and learn how to behave from us, how to behave properly. And they have to keep the Shev Mitzvahs. That they're allowed to learn. The Shev Mitzvahs of Noach, they're allowed to learn. What are the Shev Mitzvahs? How do you keep them? What are the details? There are a lot of details in Shev Mitzvahs of Noach. There are a lot of details. I always find it's funny when people say, as I started off before, that women don't have a mitzvah Talmud Torah, but they have to know what to do. There's a lot of knowing what to do out there. It's not simple. I mean, it's the years of learning to know what to do. Well, Goyim also, there's years of learning to know the Shev Mitzvahs properly. It's not like it's, sit down for an hour, I'll tell you, and that's it, go home. Right? There's a lot there. But the learning for the sake of learning, the Talmud Torah part of it, that there is no mitzvah, and there would be no hashpah. they're not even Eina Mitzvah V'Aseh. They're not allowed to be learning. You have to appreciate that the learning of Torah is not only practical. Even when there's no practical application, it's just to understand what is being said, even if it has no bearing at all on my life, your life, or anybody else who's alive today. It packs the same punch, has the same hashpah as anything else. It doesn't have to be practical. And therefore, learning about the halachas of Tum and Tara and Kachim and Zrayim that have no bearing on anything today are just as potent and powerful as learning Mayid and learning Nashim and Nezikim, the things that are very practical today. It doesn't make a difference. It's all Torah. But Goyim do need to know what is practical for them. Yeah.
What about all these Kirov things with students? Some of the fathers are not Jewish.
You mean the fathers or the mothers aren't Jewish?
The fathers are not.
Yeah,
the student seems to be involved.
His mother is Jewish, or her mother is Jewish.
The mother was not Jewish.
Oh, I see.
And the mother was converted through a reform.
I see. So the child is, the person's not Jewish.
Right.
So in Kirov situations, so the general approach is that you offer classes to Jews,
right.
Halachic Jews, not those who think they're Jewish, but they aren't, the Halachic Jews. If someone, Rav Moshe writes about this, if someone comes to the class that is not Jewish, you're not mechuyev to throw them out.
Right.
In other words, you're not allowed to teach Torah to Goyim, but you're allowed to teach to Yidden. If a guy walks in, you don't have to stop teaching if you can't get rid of him. Right? If you're teaching and the only people who come to the class are Goyim, you're not allowed to teach. You have to figure out something that you'll do. You got to be a little creative and figure out what to do, but you can't teach Torah. Even if they think they're Jewish. But if they're not, you can't teach them Torah. When someone is learning for Gerus, sincerely learning for Gerus, just because a person says they want to be Jewish, that's not good enough. But when a person is sincerely learning for Gerus, there is a machlokes about it. The general practice is that we paskin that we teach Torah to a guy who is learning for Geirus. But Rabbi Akiva Eiger holds not like that. He holds you're not allowed to teach them Torah until they actually are a Megayer. You give them just general ideas of what it means to be Jewish, and after the Megayer, they'll learn. That's what he says. So it's not simple at all. So I always tell people who are in the workforce, and it's very common, especially today, and especially in the South, that a frum person who looks frum, we look very different than other people, and they know that we're religious, Goyim want to know. They ask. They want to know. I always tell people, don't be the source for them for Yiddishkeit. Don't just be evasive. You don't know better. No, I'm sorry. I'm not a rabbi. I don't know. I mean, you know, like whatever it is. Just don't. You know.
Didn't say that.
Okay, but I'm not out there, right? I'm saying, don't become the source of it. It's not there. You're not allowed to teach them Torah. It's not a good thing. And we don't invite over people who are not Jewish. It's not a good thing. Now, someone who is sincerely learning for Geirus, that's a different story. Now, there is someone whose father is Jewish and mother is not. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky held that there's an Indian to Dafka try to be Megayer them, because since their father's Jewish, he held them as Zera Yisrael. That is not agreed upon by everybody. Rav Shiva Zacharacher of Weinberg told me that many places can disagree. He himself did not agree with that Malach. You don't try to Megayer someone whose father is Jewish and mother is not. But Rabbi Yankov did hold that way. So there is such a shita, and you know, but we don't look for non-Jews. Now, if the person wants to become Jewish, once they're aware that they're not Jewish, and they want to become Jewish, so that depends whether they're sincerely learning for Geirus. And it's hard to define when you cross that, what means that they're sincere, but for that you really should rely on those who are who have a lot of experience with Geirus, because they have a better sense for who is really sincere. The vast majority of people who learn for Geirus do not become Geirim. And it's the vast majority of people who, I shouldn't say who learn for Geirus, who say, oh, what's Judaism all about? They want to look into it. They don't become Geirim. So you have to know what you're dealing with. I think I may have told you the story when I was on the train going to the airport, and here in Atlanta a number of years ago. I was on the train, I was sitting in the train with my chumash on my way to the airport, and a man steps onto the train, a black man steps onto the train. He looks at me, walks right over to me, sits down next to me, and he says, "So, how do the sages know that when it says the day after the Sabbath, it doesn't mean Sunday, but it means the day after the first day of Passover, and that way the holiday of I forgot what he called it, Shavuos, of weeks, won't always come out on a Sunday." So after I lifted my jaw out of my lap, so I had to think very quickly, because that's real Tarsh Baal Peh. I mean, what he's saying is that Tzedukim Shabbos means, you know, after Shabbos, so Shavuos is always on a Sunday, and we say Machar Shabbos means the day after the first day of Pesach, which is also called Shabbos. So Shavuos is not always on a Sunday. So I said to him, they know it from the oral Torah, from the oral law. They know it from the oral law. And then I said to him, but how'd you know that? So he answered me. He's a black Hebrew, and a black Israelite, whatever they call it, and he had studied this. And then he started to ask me more questions, and instead I just asked him more questions about where he was from and where he came from, where he grew up, how'd you know all that, da, 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 da. And I just spent the rest of the time on the train, instead of learning Chumash, until he actually got off the train before I did, and until he was ready to get off, I spent the next, 15-20 minutes just talking about his background and his family and his upbringing, and, you know, and that was that. So I didn't want to teach him Torah. He wanted to learn Torah. He's not a ger, not a yid. Can't teach him Torah.
I don't understand how Gaim are chayav and anything like Shavuot Mitzvot B'nei Noach, or they're not allowed to learn Torah, because like we had the Torah was given to us R-C-9 and we have it and it's passed down. So like how can we say like they're not allowed? Like why would
so the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara says that way, way, way back when, the Gaim forfeited any right to complain about this, because they themselves rejected it. They kept rejecting it. They had examples. They had us. And instead of using us as examples, they attacked, they undermined, they were never interested. So they themselves, their Gemara says, there's no Rachmanis. There's no Rachmanis.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.